Attention, calling all whispering hunties. Oh,
okay.
Hi, I'm Yijun, a self-proclaimed semi-drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I've never watched it before.
And together we are whispering hunties.
All right, we're back. We're back again. Welcome to Whispering Hunties, babes.
Hi, babes. How you doing, babe? You look great.
The bimini bomb boo lash, bimini bop, bibbidi bop, bibbidi bop. Drop
Eddie Boop Eyelash, as I like to call
podcast.
Her.
Podcast, yeah. We're ready for it to end. Also, we know it's going to have a little thing again. say it again. Whispering Hunties for you. And we're here till the end.
Hey, babe. You know, Kate, you just do spit a little freestyle.
All right. Sorry, that was my Scottish.
We're just having fun with accents, okay?
Exactly. Welcome back to Whispering Hunties, everybody.
Yes, welcome.
Gosh, this has been a really fun day. I think we had a podcast with two mm-hmm. great people.
Yeah.
You know, we're bringing some light in this weird, you know.
Yeah, in these weird times, but we're trying to bring about some nice things like this spring weather that's approaching and upon us.
Yeah.
We're just trying to make it all a little more beautiful.
100%. And I have to say, Nick, the dulcet tones of your new microphone.
Oh, are they nice? Yeah, see, there are benefits to sometimes being less spatially aware, knocking your microphone over, which breaks the cord and the port, and then you just have to buy a new microphone.
Thank God that Nick has a new microphone, that we figured out how to use his microphone, and now we have the beautiful podcast that we have today. And this is that we're growing, we're changing, mm-hmm. we're learning.
Yeah, but we're also and hopefully you like the podcast episode more than the episodes of Drag Race this week, because they were a little bit middling, I'll say.
Lord, but, if there was ever useless, boring TV, it was this week. And
these felt like filler episodes. And especially for the UK, it's like, honey,
yeah.
Lucy,
honey. Honey,
we are at the penultimate. Lucy. We are at the episode right before the finale, and you're going to give us this England only stuff that we don't get.
Honey, Lucy, I am not getting top four realness.
No.
But you know what was really, really lovely?
What's that?
Our podcast guest today.
Oh,
because,
my God.
Oh my God. They were luscious. They were lovely.
Yeah. It felt like Christmas morning.
Oh, 100%. Oh my God. So this week we have one of my friends, Barbara Bush Light, who's one of the fiercest queens this side of the Quad Cities, honey. Hailing from Davenport, Iowa, Barbara is a professionally trained makeup artist and wig stylist who's been doing drag for 3.5 years. And I know you're all scared because she's young, but she leaves all her gigs gagged with that coin in her purse. Outside of drag, she's quite the gamer. And by day, she fends off countless menses while working as a painter on a construction crew. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Wow.
They're not ready. They must be trying to hound her down, regardless of their sexual
orientation. Jacqueline of all trades.
Literally. But check out Barbara Bush Light when you have a chance on Facebook or Instagram. And keep up with all her show dates, because maybe she'll be at a place near you soon.
Ooh. Wow. Well, Mijan, you're lucky that I didn't realize ahead of time that she's a gamer, because we would have talked about Pokemon for the third week in a row. So,
oh my God, 100%. I will never mention any games on this podcast for the sake of just keeping the podcast not about games.
Yeah, you better don't. And we also have one of my friends, Chris Chenasy, who is an actor, a singer, a composer, a writer, a musical comedian based in New York City. His monthly musical comedy show, The Feed with Seriously Chris, ran for over a year in New York City before COVID shut the whole world down.
Oh.
Since then, he's kept busy writing and producing weekly music videos inspired by moments from pop culture and politics. Most notably, he produced the music video series R-H-O-N-Y, Roni Spectacular, where he wrote at least one song for every episode of season 12 of Real Housewives of New York City, and performed them all as his drag alter ego / Real Housewives wannabe, Elizabeth Cakes. Hashtag Roni Spectacular. Wow. And you can find all music videos on Instagram and YouTube at SeriouslyChris and SeriouslyChris.com.
Oh my God. I mean, and seriously, Chris.
Couple of working girls.
Seriously amazing. So these podcast guests are legit. They are fabulous. They are funny.
Yes. And Elizabeth Cakes, like, yeah, it's just like a Housewives wannabe, but it could fully be a drag alter ego if Chris wanted to go that way.
100%. So we have some quality content for you. We have some quality content queens for you today on the podcast. So without further ado, sit back, grab that snack. Maybe.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah. Or her name. Or their name. And listen to your whispering melodies.
The camera zooms in on me.
So we get some high proof alcohol. We get gasoline. Anything that says
what makes our lives worth living is our mortality. If there were not mortality, we wouldn't be packed.
Luckily for me, most of the beauty pageants that I've participated in don't.
I've done my fair share of blow, man.
I've always liked showing myself off naked.
Got up out of the seat, walked to me, and then slapped me.
Spontaneous conversation with people from around the world on Stranger Than Christian. Available on your favorite podcast app and at strangerthanchristian.com.
Oh my God, is that Chris and Barbara Busch Light?
What's up?
Hello.
Oh my God, stunning, stunning,
stunting. Hi. Oh my gosh, we really need to talk today because, I mean, oh my God, alarms.
Wow. Apparently. Well, thanks so much for coming by, everybody.
Ding, dang, dong.
Actually, I have to go now. So thanks for coming, and we'll do this again soon. I was up really late last night watching RuPaul's Drag Race for this podcast, and I was afraid that I would oversleep. So I had... I don't know. It's this weird TV show where like some like cis and transgendered men dress up as women and they get paid. They get tipped just for doing like nothing.
That sounds very Christian to me.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. Actually, well, there is some Christianity on it this year in the U.S. But besides that, they're all heathens. Okay.
Well, I heard a lot of them like to be on their knees. Oh. So I guess that does. I mean, that's where Christianity comes into play.
They are devout. this is also RuPaul's best improv comedy show. Now.
Oh my God.
Yes. Okay, but let's get to talking about your lives because I'm so glad to have you here.
Thanks to all.
Thank you.
Chris, this has been a long time coming. I've been harassing you online forever, so thank you for gracing us with your presence.
Thank you for having me.
I know you have such a busy schedule and jet setting across the country, hosting live events.
All that.
But can you tell us about yourself and the listeners that do not know who you are, because they're crazy and insane people that just haven't been exposed to your amazing quality content?
Yeah, sure. So I am a musical comedian. A lot of the stuff I do is original musical content. So what I do is I write at least one brand new song a week, and then I make a music video with the whole green screen and everything and put it on my Instagram. And I started doing that like honestly about a year ago when the shutdown started. So I got COVID like right when it started. And while I had COVID, I was like,
okay, Coco.
Yeah, Coco. And I was like, okay, I need to like do something productive so I don't go crazy. And right before the shutdown, I had started performing as this Housewives character, Elizabeth Cakes.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
oh my God, so funny.
Thank you. I just released a music video of her last year, and she's just, I love like Housewives culture. I love Bravo TV and I love all that. So Miss Cakes, she's the heiress to Cakes, Cakes, Urinal Cakes. And she's always trying to get Andy Cohen's attention, which she has not. Actually, she has gotten his last year, but then the shutdown happened and screwed everything up. But I started out making music videos for her. And then I kind of like branched out and started like, you know, we were all pissed with the political climate and everything. So I was like, I'm just going to follow where my mind wants to right now. And so I wrote a lot of political songs and then some Bachelor songs and then was like, I hate this show. So then went back to Housewives. And that's it. So, yeah.
I don't know if you know, but this is actually like a Bravo adjacent podcast.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
So the inspiration.
I didn't either.
You did. We talked about it on the very first episode.
The whispering wine thing. Oh, right.
Yeah. Well, apparently I'm just making. No, I'm not. I'm making real things up, and my co-host like smokes too much weed. I'm just kidding. Bitch Sesh was one of my my like entry drug. Well, actually, Savage Love. Let's be real. But like Bitch Sesh like got me like really back into like listening to podcasts like religiously. Mm-hmm. And Whispering Hunties was one of the fan groups that spun out of the Whispering Hunties fandom, which was called Whispering Aliens. And, so it's a bunch of like Bravo fans that used to watch, Drag Race, and they also wanted to chit chat about it. So we're part of the Bravo family if Andy ever wants to,
I love that.
Until that happens, no. I feel like if you really love like Housewives, Drag Race is great because it's like, you know, it's like they're still single and they're like twice as desperate for attention. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to make
merchandise. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're trying to all have like iconic catchphrases of their own, like very t-shirtable sayings, all of them, you know, very meme worthy, all of it.
I honestly feel like they
the day after the episode airs, we have new merch to buy.
So I don't know if you've noticed, but I think that the like confessional game and the Housewives and in Drag Race have been trying to like slowly one up each other, because like Housewives have been like really putting in like money and effort into their like confessional looks, and they've really been trying to have like more sass and like blah blah blah. And the queens have done it too. Like I feel like Valentina was one of the first ones to be like, okay, I'm gonna give you a look in confessionals. Mm-hmm. This isn't just my out of drag situation. Like this is like I am stylized and stunting. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, shows like these are like symbiotic people. So we had America's Next Top Model. Drag Race was like a little vampire trying to suck the last blood out of it. And then, you know, now we have Housewives and Drag Race just like trying to be like, who's the best? You know, like, cause I'm not sure if like Love and Hip Hop is yet like really like bled into Drag Race's lore, because it's not as like dramatized.
And are those other shows, do those ever qualify for Emmys, or does Drag Race just win because it's a competition? Because this is an award-winning reality show. I just want to like point that out as well.
I wish Housewives could get nominated. Oh, there's so, there's so many wins that should have happened in Housewives over the years.
Well, they have
I'm not a Housewives gay.
I'm not.
Okay, I was
so
like,
no judgments here.
I know like Lisa Rinna, and that's about it.
You should. Well, the thing about it is that like all of these things kind of like influence one another, right? So like even if you're not like super into Housewives, somehow the Housewives have touched our lives, whether it be, you know, my proclivity for rosé and the popularity of it. Whispering Angels has become a nationwide success thanks to the Housewives. Did you know that?
No.
Hence Whispering Hunties.
So Whispering Angel was like Martha Stewart's like favorite rosé. And then the New York Housewives all wanted to drink it, probably because Martha Stewart was drinking it. And then all of a sudden, all the Housewives started drinking Whispering Angel. And then it became like literally the number one rosé in the country. It's like super expensive now.
I didn't know that.
I literally think you were talking about the queen.
Oh no, I was saying that, like,
the pop. Her?
I'm just gonna say that, like, Housewives contributed to the popularity of rosé. Like, rosé's always been popular, but like that as like a cultural phenomenon, like rosé all day, rosé, rosé, rosé. That was contributed to by Housewives, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're back. But no, so basically everyone like harass Chris's like everything online. We're gonna, you know, seriously, Chris is an institution on the internet, and I go to church, like, you know, multiple times a week, and just listen to the dulcet tones, dive into Housewives, and we're so glad to have you.
Thank you.
Barbara, oh my gosh, it's been so long. I have not, like, face to face talked. I mean, obviously, like, this is a different type of face to face, you know.
Right.
But I haven't face to face talked to you since, like, in like 2 years.
It's been a few years, yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, it's been crazy. It's been a fun few years, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of chaos, a lot of trade, and you know.
Yeah, I mean, so girl, I thought you were moving to Chicago, but now you're in the Quad Cities. Like,
you know, I need to focus on evicting the 17 different voices in my head first before I can uproot and move somewhere else.
Okay.
Sure, but that's fair.
I'm very impulsive. So when I told you I was going to move to Chicago, it was literally like the day before. I was like, I want to do this. And then I was like, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell people. And then I was like, didn't think about it more. And then I was like, actually, no. Basically what happens with all of my life decisions. Like, I was like, I'm going to go back to school. And then I was like, the next day, I'm like, did I really think about that though? Like,
oh my God, I
applaud the wanting to speak it into existence though. Yeah. I think that could be good. Yeah.
But there's gotta be some kind of plan behind it. So right. I don't have that or organization. What's that?
Oh my God. But you have the gift of gab and you are like the sweetest. And so Barbara Bush Light and me work at the showcase that happens in Chicago twice a year. Hasn't been happening because of COVID, and we were roomies. We both went. That's how I found my agent and my manager. Look, can you tell us a little bit about the Quad Cities? Because I'm Quad Cities drag. I need to know all about it because this is like something that, like, I didn't even know about. I was like, wait, there are 4 cities like in Iowa, or like Iowa and then also across the border. And they're like kind of like a metropolitan area, kind of like New York, but it's like in the middle of America. Like, what is, can you, okay, explain what the Quad Cities are, because not everyone knows, and I'm a bad American. And then second of all, like, you know, like, what's a night out in the Quad Cities like? Like, you know, where do we go? You know, because if we're road tripping across America, we're going to go to the Quad Cities and we're going to go to these gay bars.
Oh, yeah. Sell us on it.
Absolutely. Well, I will try my best. So the thing with the Quad Cities, I would definitely say it's more like a metropolitan, kind of like a smaller New York. It's called the Quad Cities because there's 2 cities in Iowa and 2 cities in Illinois, and they all border the Mississippi River. Mm-hmm. So it's like this one big area with like just a bunch of different little cities that all kind of like not compete with each other, but like they kind of like intertwine with each other, like stuff happens, like, you know, it's just one big area. Mm-hmm. As far as the drag scene goes, I will say, like, we are small but mighty. You would think for having 4 cities it would be booming, and like back in the, you know, 80s and 90s it was booming, but you know, where our locations are with our bars, it's so far out from like downtown, so not a lot of people come out anymore.
Gotcha.
So right now we've only got 2 bars. One of them it's Mary's on 2nd. That one I'm usually at every Friday and Saturday, but we're not doing shows right now.
Right.
But then the cool thing I like is right next door, literally like 500 feet, we share a parking lot. There's another gay bar that's open. It's called Varieties Nightclub, and that's where everyone performs right now. Okay. But it's cute. I mean, be careful where you go in the Quad Cities, because if you get, you know, if you ever come to the Quad Cities and you smoke, don't smoke out front of the building, because you will be hit up for money or something.
Oh, sure. Okay.
People be like, you know, you got money? No. Like, we're literally here at a gay bar at 11 o'clock on a Friday night. Do you really think we have money? No.
Okay, they're asking for they're asking you for donations, not issuing you citations.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, very that. And don't get too far uptown either, because you might find some, you know, booger sugar or something up there that you don't want to get involved in.
Mm-hmm. Booger sugar. So, this is some, is this Quad Cities language? What is that?
No, that's a slang cocaine.
For
cocaine. Oh! So there was one night, actually, I was walking out to my car. I had my suitcase in this hand, my wig in this hand. My face was like, I had taken all my makeup off, and my face was just like so disheveled. I was so tired. It was like 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I was putting my stuff in my car. And this like lady, I don't know her name. I don't care to know her name. She like walked up to me and was like, "You got any methamphetamine?" And I said, "No." She's like, "Oh, do you know where I could get some?" I said, "No." And she was like, "Okay, do you have any money?" I said, "You need to go." Get away from my car.
Yeah, I'm not your dealer, hon.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say, we do have a really tight-knit community. Like, there's a really good sisterhood with most of us.
I know. I feel like you're diving into some of the drama that recently happened, but we're not going to go into it, okay?
No, because we can talk more about that on our one-on-one for sure.
Yeah, because Barbara Bush Light came out on top, and I'm telling you, do not mess with Barbara Bush Light, because she will give you a full, like, you know, shout out on social media moment, and everyone will come for you for going for her, and they will come to defend her because she's a real ass biatch.
Okay. I mean, people can try to come for me all they want, but at the end of the day, they're just on social media coming for me, and I'm booked in 4 states regularly.
Ooh. Ooh. it pays to have a fan base, baby.
Hey, listen, I'm not always the most humble person, but there's a certain level of, you know, being humble, being nice, and having your best interests for your fan base, and they, you know, usually repay you. So
that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you are very humble. I think you should correct that. But
I will never say that about myself, because that's a key sign of someone who's not humble. But
I'm the most humble person I know.
You're pretty humble and very generous and very kind to most people. So,
thank you.
I was very upset when that stuff went down, but I think you handled yourself pretty well. I mean, there was a moment where you got angry, but then you also were like, "Hey, everyone that wants to hire me, I can behave." So thank you.
And it was funny, after all of that went down, I had so many like bar owners that I perform for that were messaging me like, we know her tricks that she's always been up to, you're fine. Like, it was funny, right after it happened, two of them messaged me, "Hey, do you want a booking this month?" I was I'll take it.
No, but I feel like you handled that press tour really well, because you were like, look, I know that there's beef going down, but like, I respect all the owners, and I don't want this to reflect any of our relationships. I was like, who did his press training? Because he really like is
very professional,
doing the takedown, but then also
launched
rising above.
My press training.
Literally. This is like so Drag 101, but can you tell us about the name, Barbara Bush Light?
Oh my God.
Okay. I love it.
I love it. That's so good. That's so funny.
Okay.
So my original name was Adele Markstone, because the drag family that I was kind of going after was a very like pageantry background, and
we can see that in elegant. Your drag.
Well, it wasn't always like this. It could be better as far as like the pageantry side of things goes, but I think I found a good blend of what I like. So originally I was going more of like the pageant route. And then I was like, why am I going more like pageant route? Because I just like to be am I allowed to swear? Can I say I like to be a dumb bitch on stage? Okay.
Thank you, Joey.
Okay. So I was like, no, like this just doesn't fit me. Like, I just always felt awkward whenever people would call my name on stage. I'd be like, ugh, like, this just doesn't sound right. Mm. So there's no funny story behind my name. I literally was sitting at the dining room table with my parents one night, and they were having a discussion about, I think it was like either like first ladies or just like presidencies in general, you know, cause politics come up a lot in my family. we're not going to get into that, but they were talking about,
that's a story for another day.
story for a day far down the line. So they were talking about, I think it was like just first ladies, and Barbara Bush came up. Well, I don't know how, like, that her name just stuck in my mind. And my dad, he drinks like the non-alcoholic Bush Light beers.
Oh my God, I saw those. Yeah.
And because he likes to, you know, he likes to be one with everyone, but like he doesn't like alcohol. So he was drinking the Bush Light beers. And I like don't know why my brain just connected the two. And I was like, this is hilarious. It was so stupid. And I was like, people are not going to love this. And literally, I have not had anyone tell me that it was a bad idea. So I'm like,
no, that's,
I love it.
Such a great drag name. That is Barbara so fun. Yeah. Tying it together. It's a picture in your head already. It's great.
Yeah. Because I like to think Barbara Bush was like very, she was a lot more of like a put together, kind of like classier woman. And then like Bush Light is like the cheapest of cheap beers. So it's like, it's perfect for me. Like I try to hold myself to a standard that's, you know, put together and regal and whatnot. But then I also like being stupid at and cheap. So it's like, it's a perfect blend.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's I don't, for some reason it feels like a very good like Midwestern drag queen name for some reason.
It very
100%, 100%, 100%.
Like it's like you're capturing the cultural zeitgeist, like everyone's name is like Barbara, and then the Bush Light is everywhere, and then you have the, you know, the former first lady, and it's just, there's so many drag queen names need to have a beautiful contradiction or just be puns on puns, and I think you found both.
Yeah. And the branding possibilities with my name, oh my God. I've been brainstorming merch and everything, and I was like, this is so funny. Like, I'm so excited to release
the merch. Super Bowl commercial on your vision board so that in just a few years, maybe next year, we're getting that commercial.
Could you imagine if me, an openly gay drag queen with the name Barbara Bush Light, had a Super Bowl ad? The super straights would be cranking.
They want it. Get out of here. Companies want it, though. Do you know that Taste got sent her own
The beans,
her own, like Heinz ketchup sent her own can of like Taste beans and like Taste ketchup
after that
beans on so toast cute. Situation from last
I need to shoot for the stars then with that.
Keep the co-branding, it's good. Can you just tell us a little bit about that hilarious librarian, and like, when are you going to make more videos? Like, Chris, honestly, like if there was to be like some like cross pollination situation,
cross pollination.
Barbara does this character who's like a librarian who like is very unaware of like sex, and it's just like very funny.
So it's Lorraine Oglesby. She's a substitute teacher. And it's on, I do it on TikTok every once in a while. I haven't made any content lately because I've just been really busy.
You need it to be like a standard thing because she's reading 50 Shades of Grey and like not getting it.
One of the videos, it was like, you know, one of my fans sent me this book about parenting and like how to better parent my children. And like, I read a segment from 50 Shades of Grey that was all about like whipping and like restraining. And I was like, what is this? Like, it's so stupid. Like, those ideas just, I'll literally be, so the first one I made, the one that went like viral, was about being how the substitute teacher thing came about. It was this dominant on TikTok who was like addressing his subs, and he was like, you know, this is for all the subs. And I was like, oh my God, it was literally like 2 a.m. I was drunk in that TikTok, by the way. And I was like, I'm like a substitute teacher who's like oblivious to what's going on here. And I had this like ratted wig, and actually, I wasn't wearing this cardigan. I was wearing something else.
It was a similar cardigan though.
But I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna be this like oblivious substitute teacher. And I posted it, and I was like, this is so stupid. And I woke up to like 25,000 likes on it, and I was like, wait, what? Like,
this is what I mean. This is what I mean.
Yeah. So hopefully soon I'll have some more content, but
I need to look that up.
On TikTok, just at Barbara Bush Light. All of my socials are just at Barbara Bush Light. So
awesome. And we're back. Welcome to Whispering Hunties, where we actually talk about Drag Race. Nick, my darling. Ooh, that sounded weird. But you know what? So I'm half Caribbean, and they say my darling all the time. My darling, darling, sure. can you go get me a glass of water? Anyway, it's so cute, but it sounds weird when I say it like as a gay man to another gay man, because like darling and honey are so rude, so it doesn't work. Okay.
Yeah, like
at least you're not saying, sweetie, can you do this for me?
Exactly. I felt like I was saying sweetie. Yeah. And I
sweetie
know.
Is like what we mean when we say like,
yeah,
bury that.
No,
yeah.
Oh, like honestly, 100. if another gay man, especially when it's an older gay man, and I don't know why, but also I think a younger one too, but whatever. Yeah. But if someone's like, oh honey, and I'm like, oh what? Am I about to like throw you out the window, throw my phone at you, throw your phone at you? Like, you know, do I need to rip out your hair? Like what? Mm-hmm. Like what, honey, what?
Yeah, it's like, the condescension know, it just, for me. It's yeah, awful.
It sets me off, so I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, I'm not a violent person. I just
see the lady here in town that works at Popeyes, one of the window ladies, she always calls me honey on the intercom thing, and I'm just like that, I'm like cool with, because she is such a nice lady.
Oh, I love it when women do it. I love it, not women my own age, but like older women.
Oh, it's like a hug. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's the best thing ever. It's just no one my own age, no one gay, just don't do it. Anyway, right. Do we have a whole story report?
Oh, do we ever? Okay. You ready?
Ready.
Ding, dang, dong. We're back in the UK. There's still a bit of tension between Ellie Diamond and everyone else. But bottom line, all the queens are playing the game. Save Ahura. We'll miss you. And hooray, it's puppet time. Everybody loves puppets, but mostly me. Everyone was mostly okay, but Bimini was a little bit better. Kind of like a lot of the challenges this season. On to the main challenge, a soap opera. And I gotta say, I live for an acting challenge with only four queens, so we get to actually hear every description. Side note, is it possible for Bimini to get the crown and Miss Congeniality? I love them so much, crying emoji. After some wonderful acting notes, we're off to filming the challenge with our beloved Michelle. And the dolls are struggling, mostly our Scottish girls. Get those lines, love. On elimination day, the stakes couldn't be higher, but we get a beautiful, beautiful side feature of all the top four queens reading letters from their mums and a photo together at one of the queens' shows. It was an absolute tearjerker to see such support and love. Everyone with a nice mum who loves them should feel so fortunate and grateful. This brought so much heart to a tough time in the competition, and it was a fresh way to provide it. On the runway, hold up, who is that mannequin? As an owner of many mannequin parts, I adore. Now on to the looks, whatever panto dame means. Lawrence's hair color is so pleasing, and the rest of it is very cute and campy. Taste looks like a sexy and adorable fairy godmother, total crush material. And Bimini looks like what Ellie Diamond might do on someone else in a makeover challenge, but it's still big and fun and spirited. And Ellie serves us Drag Race Season 12 promo looks. The soap opera video was fun but long, and Bimini wins again. Just crown her now. It's down to Ellie and Tace, which we all saw coming. And after a committed, enthusiastic challenge, they both stay. Congrats to Ellie, but sometimes it's glaringly obvious that it was going to happen anyway because of whatever they're planning for the finale. But it's a TV show. It is what it is, and finales are like orgies. The more, the merrier. And that's the whole story.
What? I'm obsessed with whatever just happened.
It's perfect.
Yeah, that story, I like love it. I'm aroused. Like that was that was so good. Thank you. I was like, oh my god, what is happening? But I'm here for it.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh my god. So the thing is, sometimes we don't get to talk about the whole episode. So if we get the whole story, like, you know, all the details are there and we could laugh about
that. At least a little recap.
Yeah. But like now we can like really dive into it because wow, what a snooze fest. Like, I just have to say at the top of this, like, what happened in the editing room? Like, was there just nothing going on? Is it just really hard to film four drag queens? Like, there's just not enough drama. Like, it was one of the most boring episodes I've ever seen. And I was
drunk. Sketch was just so long.
The sketch was so long.
Yes. I was
Yeah. Like, I feel like funny. The sketch, that's just it. The sketch was long, but it wasn't, there wasn't enough, like, I guess you could say, like, meat and potatoes that, like, you know, really kind of pulled it along. It just kind of was, like, there and filling time to me.
I think that ended up being, like, a downside to the acting challenge only being four queens. because if it was even the same length, but with like 7 or 8 even, yeah, up to that number, it wouldn't have felt nearly as long because the pace would have been like much better getting everybody in.
Yeah.
But this, it just felt like we lived in it forever.
Well, I mean, they did too many like short two-person scenes. Like the two-person scenes were actually the boring ones. It was the four-person scenes where there's like a little bit more going on that had more meat and potatoes. So it was like, okay, like why are you writing these small scenes? Just do like a big couple, like four scene numbers, or you know, like one person enters, the other person leaves, and it becomes like a, you know,
like a mono scene, or
like a scene that builds upon itself. Like someone comes in, like someone leaves and goes back. It's almost like not Whose Line Is It Anyway, but Noise Is Off. You know that one?
Oh, yeah.
Like that kind of action would have been amazing. But I mean, I think we're talking, this is like literally a podcast with like four people who've like acted and, you know, like for like, you know, like talking about like the writing of like a really bad script that's making fun of a soap opera. So we are very prejudiced.
Right.
But still, it was whatever.
And everyone was at a 10 the whole time too. It was like, I love Bimini. I actually love all these girls, honestly, but like I love Bimini, but she was at a 10 the entire time. Like Lawrence was at a 10 the entire time. I actually loved Taste in it. I thought that Taste did the best person.
I think Taste did a great job. Yes.
Okay. We are changing this has happened before, but we are changing the organization of this podcast because we really need to talk about what happened to Taste, because what happened to Taste was wrong. And I don't want to cancel anyone, but I want to say that this was ridiculous. You are telling me that Bimini and Lawrence and Ellie were all like funnier than Taste during this challenge? Are you like, blind? Are you deaf? And like, do you have like the most like rudimentary sense of humor where it's like, if you do something loud, I'm gonna laugh? Like, what?
Yeah, it's so annoying. I thought that the star of the sketch was Lawrence's turtleneck though.
Yes.
I could not take my eyes off of the turtleneck. Yeah.
I need Lawrence to like post a link to that because we all need to be wearing that.
It's so good.
Hands up. But the thing that I want to say is that so Taste had the problem with the Australian accent, but then she fixed it and then she actually did sound kind of like, you know, like East London-ish with like a hint of Australia. But she was creating so many moments, her eyes, her like her little subtle things where they like look at the camera and like be like, dun, dun. And then like, you know, she was hitting all the beats for me and she had levels and you couldn't take your eyes off of her. I felt like I was actually watching a soap opera, but she was like the funny character in the soap opera. I thought she was like hands down, like ready to work, ready to go. She could be like, it was phenomenal. I was cracking up the whole time. I literally wrote in my notes like, welcome to the competition, Taste. Congrats on your first win. And then it didn't happen. And I was like, they're literally, no, it's gross. And then when Rue was like, you know, guys, that was really great. You guys did such a good job. Like this you made it like really hard. And I was like, no.
Rue, were you on your phone during? And she was like, everybody was great.
The show notes say everyone is great and we're going to do a double save. Got it.
Yeah, totally. That's how it felt. And like, because the whole episode was like, felt, just kind of bland and like nobody was really like really shining. The double save just felt like, okay. I mean, there was no payoff. I felt like.
Well, I mean, the only payoff was that they didn't get rid of Taste after that performance.
Like, Ellie.
What? Who are they? What are they doing? Who, like, I'm like, your license to judge has been rescinded at this point. I just, like, I don't get it. I don't want to get it. I'm not going to. Like, it's just, it's not a thing. So, whatever.
If I'm being honest, I want to give my little perspective on this episode. So, in my opinion, I think that this challenge, right, I know, I think that this challenge was so awkward and so just awful that it's hard to even judge it in any way. Like, you know, we could sit there and say that, you know, technically, as far as acting skill goes, Ellie did the best, but then she missed a lot of the comedy. But then she also had this scene with this mannequin where they were like, you know, like humping each other all around the bar, which I was like pissing myself laughing at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then she was bottom too because she like missed in a couple other little categories. So it's kind of like they're all at a level that they're amazing. They all deserve to be in the top four.
Mm-hmm.
But this challenge was so bad for everyone that it's kind of like, I don't know how they even could judge it. Like, but then that lip sync, I mean, they both killed that lip sync. So it's like, it was just a weird episode, and I'm so glad it's over.
I wish it would have been the other way around, that acting would have been last week and design, or 2 weeks ago, and design would have been this week.
Yeah.
Something like that would have been better and more fair.
I was like, wait,
and
last week we had Ahura. That would have been even worse.
Yeah, I know. No, but like maybe we could have gotten rid of Ellie.
Been great
like,
in this.
The mannequin had more personality than her.
I've been texting all my British friends being like, can someone explain to me the mannequin thing? Like, did he die? Like,
yeah, I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I
didn't know.
I mean, obviously they didn't want anyone else on set, but like there are ways to work around this.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's rewind. Is something wrong with Rue's head? Because these pussycat wigs and this hat, I'm like, did you have a mole on your head? Was it removed?
Right. Is so there a scar recovering?
Yeah, have you heard the theory about what we think is happening?
No.
So we think that I just heard this yesterday, that this was like a running theory. Rue had like some sort of like facelift or like facial surgery, and she's covering up a scar while it's healing. That's what I heard yesterday, which would make sense, but I'm just like, why are you walking in a room in a freaking beanie? Like, what is going on here? Like,
yeah.
Interesting. Oh no, I believe it. I was like, maybe she had like, you know, like, you know, when you have like a skin cancer and you have it removed and there's like a scar.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I literally thought that was the case. And we've all been saying she looks better than ever. Looks refreshed.
Yeah. I mean, in drag for sure.
I mean, so that right there should say maybe she did have some facial work done.
Yeah, maybe so. And it's like such a tight schedule with filming that, I mean, there's no way to like fully spend the whole time healing if that is the case.
Right.
Yeah.
I was listening to Sibling Rivalry a couple weeks ago.
Tell us more.
Monet was saying that she was in London doing a play, and while RuPaul was there filming this, and RuPaul went to her hotel room to get one of her wigs.
No, she didn't. That did not really happen.
That's what she said on the podcast.
That was a joke. That was a legit joke. That was a joke.
Oh.
No. She posted that on Twitter.
I was that makes sense.
We talked about this on one of our Hunty Whispering Wednesdays. That was definitely a joke. There's no way that was real.
Because I fully believed it. I was like, yeah, that must be, that's Monet's wig on RuPaul's head. I see it.
I wish RuPaul would wear the one Bob's been wearing on the YouTube. The orange red, the infamous wig. I want RuPaul to wear that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but the dates don't actually align. Like when Monet was in London, RuPaul had already finished filming that series because they came back in like October or something like that to record this. And then Monet went to London, I think in December for like pantomime season to do that show with Courtney Act. Mm-hmm. But like around the time that like the UK was announced, like, you know what I mean? Like it seems as if like Monet could have been there, but I don't think that's real. because everyone knows that Monet is like notorious for the pussycat wigs. So like basically she's like, you know, Rue called and I was there. Because I'm gonna help Rue out with these pussycat wigs, because everyone was reading me for these pussycat wigs, but when RuPaul needed one,
I was there.
Yeah, but there's no way this is real. She literally posted on Twitter, she's like, story time. As some of you know, that the second half of the UK was global, I was also living in the UK. Rue was in a bind and really wanted a wig for his boy look. He texted me, came over, and we tried on a couple of pussycat wigs, and I had on me on hand, and he liked this one. And it's like, never happen, because Rue would have been isolating for COVID. So like, Rue would have to break his, you know, like bubble to then go to the hotel room to then take these like COVID infested wigs and like bring them back onto the set. So like this is
not COVID infested wigs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Yeah, Monet's been breathing on them.
If you could describe the reading challenge in one word, go.
Meh.
What?
I love the puppet reading challenge, but this one was just kind of like, it was like Bimini and Guess. Like it was like Bimini killed it. Lawrence was okay, but but Ellie and Tace, I was like,
Tace, I think, was the worst.
It was okay, bitter, confused, bimini.
Very that.
Yeah, yeah. Just very like, you know, okay, so we did it.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly forgot all about it till you just said something. I was like,
exactly.
What? That was last night?
Yeah.
I literally forgot about it.
There are moments of this episode that are just forgettable. Like most mini challenges in both the episodes have been going on concurrently. I'm just like, wow, the mini challenge is just a lost art.
This had like the vibe of like the fourth or fifth episode in the season, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like penultimate.
So Lawrence and Ellie, they talked, they had a conversation. There was an apology. Was there?
No, because she kept going on about it.
Yeah. I mean, they're not over it by any means.
No.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't mean to be that harsh, blimp. But then, like, literally the next episode, like literally the start of the episode, she's, like, going on about it still. And I'm like, but are you really good? Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I rolled my eyes so hard.
I mean, we've all been there, though. It's like, it's just one of those things where it's like, you're with a friend. They're like really hurt, like really, I don't want to say butt hurt, because I feel like that's like rude to gay men. Because sometimes they can be butt good, not butt hurt. But no, but like, you know, Lawrence is just in her feelings, like knickers in a twist, like whatever. And like Ellie's trying to apologize. And they're just never going to see eye to eye, because Lawrence is like, why didn't I get special treatment? Because I'm your bestest friend. And Ellie's like, well, it's a game, which is not an excuse. It's like, Ellie's like, I refuse to own that, like, okay, I did something shady and it was shady. And I'm sorry that it hurt your feelings, but like, I can't undo it now. You know, it's the phrasing of these apologies that really gets me.
It wasn't, I'm sorry for doing it. I'm sorry you feel this way because I did that.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting from
I'm
it.
I'm sorry you got mad.
It's just like an apology. Yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly, though, I kind of live for that energy, because at the end of the day, like, this is a reality competition television show. Mm-hmm. This isn't, you know, literally, LaShawn Beyond said it best in season 4, this is not RuPaul's best friend race.
Yeah.
If you want to get to that crown, you got to throw a bitch or two under a bus. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like that's technically what Ellie's intention was. It came off that way, definitely. Mm-hmm. But, like, regardless of it, like, political or anything about it, but like the fan base is what ruins this show for me, because if you guys have seen
the fan base
thing, so toxic.
Have you guys seen like the fallout that's happened with Lawrence Chaney on social media?
Had to shut off Twitter
ever, delete
because
Twitter,
people were being really horrible.
They don't like Lawrence now.
No, because they're going after Lawrence.
Because of how Lawrence was really upset with Ellie.
Everyone was in love with Lawrence, and now they all hate Lawrence, which is so crazy.
That is so stupid.
And it's bizarre.
I mean,
it's a TV show. They're reacting to a TV show, but they get so worked up that they go on Twitter and tell people to kill
themselves. That is so stupid.
I blame production, though, because production handed Lawrence the puppet for that stupid mini challenge that no one can remember, so that Lawrence would then be making fun of Ellie.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like literally in all the confessionals, they must be like, so what? How are you feeling about Ellie? They must be like pressing her, driving all the drama every time. I mean, I do slightly disagree with you, because Ellie knew what she was doing. Ellie was being felt like she was being bullied because she was not doing as well in the competition. And so then she was like, I'm going to do something to assert my power. And like, are you guys going to respect me now? And they were like, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, you think you're one of the mean gays? No, honey, we're the mean gays. You're like very nice and bubbly, but you're not. And
they kind of used it as an excuse against her to like an excuse to be mad at her.
Yeah.
And Lawrence, it's like, what were your expectations, Lawrence? Of course, people are going to play the game that way. And you keep telling Ellie well, that was really shady of you. And it was like, where are you right now?
Yeah.
You're on a TV show that's to compete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I will say this, like, even though Bimini has 4 wins and Lawrence has 3, Ellie has better consistency than everyone.
Yeah.
Maybe not Bimini, but like Tace and Lawrence have all lip synced. Literally Ellie just lip synced, and she's been like consistently either like safe or whatever the whole time. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, for them to not see her on their level or think that she doesn't deserve to be there, I think is complete trash, because she's shown that like she's beautiful. Yeah. Her looks are beautiful.
Yes.
Her makeup is stunning. She really is sweet. Like I don't buy into all the bullshit that people are like mad at her about with this. I don't buy into that. I think she's sweet.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know. I'm definitely Team Ellie.
What if they crown her? Yeah, what if she wins?
If they crown her, Lawrence is literally going to show up at her house with a brick and kill her herself.
No. There will be a civil war.
In Scotland, there will be. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, I mean, there's no way that's happening. I mean, look, here's the thing. Ellie's not as mean as that moment was. Lawrence is not as mean as all this is. You know that Lawrence is like insecurity central. So like all of this anger is just about like Lawrence is like, I was this close to winning and now it's being eroded.
Yeah. It's the heat of the show.
Isn't it amazing how normal the soap opera stars from England look?
Yeah, they don't look like cartoons.
Like literally, I was like, oh my God, this girl has been on this soap opera since she was like, you know, what it was like 16 or like seven or something. Like they never replaced her. They kept her on the show regardless of what she grew into. This would never happen in America. They'd be like, oh, you're like average looking as an adult. Upgrade. Yeah, look, she went away to college and she came back and look at her. She's in a coma now.
But forever, we have to bring in someone else.
Or they would just kill her off. They'd be like, this girl is not sexy. We need to replace her. Like what? I was like, look at British people just love you as you are. And I think that we have a lot to learn, people. Sorry, that's so mean. She's probably a great actress. That's still mean.
That's just like saying, at least you've got a good personality. That is that energy.
She does. She seemed like she had a great personality.
You got a great face for radio. Like,
look, as someone that is not, you know, the Helen of Troy of gay people, I sympathize with her very much. Okay, so does everyone understand what a pantomime is?
No. I mean, I didn't get it from this runway theme.
Okay, so pantomimes happen usually during like holidays, like especially like during Christmas. It's a very old form of drag that has existed in the UK for, you know, generations. And usually it's a man, kind of like in the spirit of like Hairspray. There'll be like a female character and it's a man in drag. And so it's like this time-honored tradition in England. And it's very over the top, very camp. And that is what they were doing on the runway, because it's supposed to be a pantomime dame, meaning like a great lady who's like, it's a pantomime version of a great lady in drag. That's what they were doing.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so it was
now
actually like
the cases looked and it worked. Okay.
Well, yeah, now
yes,
I get it.
She was a little bit too pretty. You know, it should have been, there are fairies, but it was supposed to be like grand dame, which is why everyone was looking a little bit more like motherly or matronly.
Sure.
So that's why that happened. I thought it was like, okay. Everyone was wearing short skirts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you wearing short skirts if it's like a great late, you know, a great lady? I don't need to see your knees. Like, I would love to see like a big gap. You know what would have been great? Joe's look that she did for the Seaside. Oh. Something a little bit more like that, where it like covers your whole body and it's like a whole moment. You know what I mean? That's what that's what I remember from growing up in Zimbabwe when we had pantomimes. Mm-hmm. But you know, this was.
I think this is another run. This is another part of today's episode that could have benefited from having more queens present rather than just four queens on a theme that people outside of UK are probably not going to have a great chance of knowing what the heck it is.
Yeah.
So if we could have seen more examples of it, I think it would have been clearer to us.
Yeah.
So
did you also understand what EastEnders was?
I got that easier from context from the show explaining it, but this runway was just never explained. So I was just like, oh, okay, I don't really know what's going on.
So like,
but shows, EastEnders I got.
Yeah. Like they're like two shows that like had been going on like forever. Like people have grown up and like died on these shows basically. Mm. Like EastEnders and Coronation Street, they're like they're these huge soap operas. Like everyone watches them and they come on at like 4 or 5. So you'd like come home from school, like, you know, have your little snack and then like turn on the TV and watch the soaps. And it's like a time-honored tradition in Britain. And it's like, it's just like what you do.
Gotcha.
So like whenever I would go and like visit my godmother in London, we would like, you know, every day we'd be like watching the soaps. And then like, if you fall behind, there's an omnibus episode that happens like on a Saturday where you can just watch the whole week.
Oh, I got it. And like catch up.
And it's literally just like all the episodes. That's why it's called the omnibus. Mm. So like this show is like, there's almost like nothing bigger because it's like the average person's like, you know, cultural experience. So like that it was so niche in terms of British culture that mm-hmm. like I was watching and was like, wow, this is not gonna read for anyone because it's so niche. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And maybe that's why we had a hard time enjoying the episode as fully.
Oh no,
because like it wasn't for us. And also the pacing of it was just awful. And certainly gave us an omnibus version of a sketch.
Yeah, no, but it was a really bad sketch. And like I get it. Cause they're always like especially in EastEnders, like they are really fighting over that one pub because it's all about pub culture, you know? But it was bad. You now only have two words to describe the lip sync.
I'm bored.
There you go. No, the lip sync was cute.
Two words.
I'm getting there. Patience.
That's three.
Honey.
That's three.
One word I think of is detach, because they both detached something from their outfits, and I was a little detached from the episode.
Oh my God.
Yeah, detached for sure.
I would say it's tight. Like it was cute, but I wouldn't have done a double Shantae.
No.
Personally, yeah. I'm going to get crucified for this. I preferred Ellie's performance.
Mm-hmm. To Taste.
Yeah.
Because the reason why I liked it, because with Taste, I saw it coming because, you know, she's lip synced half the season. Mm. With Ellie, just about. With Ellie, she hadn't lip synced yet. So it was kind of like there was a mystery. Like, how is she going to, you know, what is she going to do? Is she about to turn it out? Is she about to flop? Mm-hmm. And she turned it out. It was cute.
Well, you know what? I will say cartwheels and knees. Yeah. You know what I mean? If I remember what happened, those are the two things I remember. And I don't know why this is now this is the move that's been like, you know how like Americans death drop? British queens apparently just slam their knees down on the floor and like act like a spoiled child.
And that is
like, I do that too.
You do it? Does it hurt? Do you wear knee pads? Like, what is this? It looks painful.
Well, imagine doing that being almost 400 pounds high.
Girl, this is why I don't understand. I'm like, why does everyone do this? What's her name? Did it? Yeah. Tia did it. Tia is doing it.
And like, I was like, honey.
I'm like, ow, on a stage. Like that stage. Oh,
yeah. I mean, well, at least with me, I have cushion. But like Tia is literally like a skeleton with skin. So it's like, I imagine she was probably hurting, but like, it doesn't feel good. Like it doesn't, I'll be honest. Like these queens are like, yeah, I can death drop. It doesn't hurt. No, that hurts. Like,
right.
Yeah. I've never done it, but I can imagine. I literally fell down a flight of stairs into an almost death drop. So there's no way it doesn't hurt. Just some backstory. About a month ago, I fell down an entire 25-step flight of stairs.
Oh my God.
On the way downstairs to host a show. So.
Oh, honey.
Which she still did because she's a professional.
I laid there on the ground with the microphone in my hand as the intro music stopped. And I was like, hello, everybody. Welcome. Like on the ground at the bottom of the stairs. My castmates were at the top of the stairs like, you good?
The show must go on.
That sounds like an amazing entrance. Like, that sounds like the best entrance ever, though.
Oh, they didn't see it. It was behind the stage. But if I had fallen onto the stage, they'd have been like, what the... but back to what we were saying.
Is she gonna jump from there?
It definitely... she gonna jump. I'm dead. But no, it definitely doesn't feel good.
Look, honestly, I don't know. I think... Here's the thing that I think is maybe happening. I don't know about this lip syncing in London thing. Like, maybe it's just an American sport and we'd love the girls for trying, but this is not their forte. Also, apparently they don't have the budget at the BBC Three to buy any good music. And at first we used to blame Rue. I don't blame Rue anymore. I blame the BBC because they are bringing back some obscure ass 80s BS that is not cute. Like the lyrical content is not there. I keep listening to these songs and being like, so where is the drag moment? Like, where's that? You know, like when I think of a drag song, I think of like, I think of a song with like a storyline, drama. It sets you up.
A key change.
You know, there's also, there's musicality in it so that you can be like, you know, boom, 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 boom. And then you can like put a little handography or whatever to that. These songs don't have that. They don't even have like a really strong bass. It's like a wash of sound. It's like doing drag to the sound of the ocean. That's what they're giving us. And I don't blame Ru. I blame the BBC. BBC Three was struggling. They couldn't even, they're not even on television. Yeah. They're online and now they're back on TV thanks to Drag Race probably. Mm. And thus we have BS lip syncs to BS music and dear God.
Remember what Charlie Hyde said? Most of the queens in London sing live.
Yeah, apparently. Right? Yeah. And I believe that now.
I believe Charlie.
Yeah, yeah.
And we all ripped her apart, but we're like, you know what? Miss Thing, you're right.
Yeah, and they're not going to change the show so that each queen takes a turn singing a song.
Right.
But maybe they need to. Maybe they need to. And yeah, we've had this thing about, like, you know, UK drag being a slightly different beast, and maybe they need to do something because this was...
Yeah. Yeah, this tea was cold.
But even, I'm going to be honest, even the last couple seasons of US Drag Race, the lip syncs haven't been that great. We've had a couple like standout moments, but like,
yeah,
they really haven't been good either. The last good season of lip syncs, I'm going to be honest, was Canada's Drag Race. I agree.
Canada was really good.
There was not a single bad lip sync in Canada.
So it was always fun, and they
loved brought a lot of Canada.
Yeah, Drag Race Canada was so solid. And like, I remember a lot of like, funny moments from their lip syncs, and it's like, yes, make them funny.
Exactly. Now that we're almost at the end of the UK,
thank God.
Right,
just kidding.
I need to sleep. Who do you think can take the crown?
I hope Tia Coffey comes back and says, "This is mine."
Yes, girl.
No, Bimini. Bimini, hands down.
Bimini Bum Goulash.
Bimbo Goulash for the win. Mm-hmm.
I think,
yeah, Betty Boop Eyelash is also
going to win.
Betty Boop Eyelash.
I love them all. But...
She's my choice too. It used to be Lauren for the longest time, but I think Bimini is going to win. She's my favorite to win.
I can't with Betty Boop Eyelash. I can't.
Okay, so we have a Lawrence. We have two Biminis. Well, screw all of y'all, because I think Asina Mandela and Ginny Lemon are going to come and split the crown.
Yes, not Ginny Lemon.
Fancy a crown.
Did you guys see the preview? The preview with Ginny Lemon's face for like a second.
Oh,
in the preview.
Oh, I know, yeah. I know, I know. Yeah. I was glad she was there.
Ginny Lemon, did you?
That's going to be a salty finale if I ever see one. Because
I was surprised she was there.
Yeah, me too.
Surprised they let her in the building.
Trust me, she won't be back. Well, friends, thank you so much. This has been just the Kiki that I need to get my life started. I'm gonna have a great day. I'm gonna have a great weekend because I was hanging out with some amazing people. Chris, Barbara, Bushlight. I mean, you must come back. We need you. We need more of you.
Love
we need
to.
More
of
you.
Tell me when and I'll be here.
Tell me when and where and there.
Woo! Yes. We like to encourage healthy communication between the people that listen to the pod and yourself in a healthy way with no bullying and no BS, blah, 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 blah. So how can people stalk you, show you love, send you some nice photos of themselves in a consensual manner?
So my address is... No. a running joke actually with me on my Instagram, it's in my bio, I don't know if I took it down, but I like to call myself the lot lizard of the Iowa 80 truck stop, so you can find me there jumping in and out of trucks. I think it's still in my Instagram bio, I don't remember, but you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, I would say Twitter. Don't look me up on Twitter because I share a lot of dirty on Twitter. Or if that's your kind of thing, go for it. I believe it's all at Barbara Bushlight.
I'm at Seriously Chris on Instagram and YouTube. That's where all my music videos are, and I release at least one a week, sometimes more. I have Twitter, but I don't get it. I'm on it. I have it. But seriously, yeah. Chris, you know.
Don't tweet, don't twat. Yes, it comes back to haunt you.
Yeah.
Oh, and TikTok. Sorry, I forgot. And TikTok at Barbara Bush.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Barbara's from the younger generation, so she ticks and she talks.
I tick and talk.
But no, literally everyone, like, subscribe, follow, comment on our podcast, mm-hmm. comment on Chris's videos, comment on all of our social media. If you have questions, we're here for you at whisperinghunties@gmail.com, or you can find us at Hunty Whispering on Twitter and Whispering Hunties everywhere else. Except for TikTok. We don't tick and talk, and we barely twat. So go live your life. But everyone, take care of yourself. Donate to Texas. Go share this with someone you love if you enjoyed the episode. But also be kind to people. Yeah. It's been loved.
Express kindness. Yeah. Lift up the things you love. Don't tear down the things you hate.
Yeah.
Or else we'll know.
Yeah, there's too much haterade in the situation. Like, I need someone to bring a big bouquet of, like, gay flowers and to spread rainbows and, you know, sprinkles all over the damn place. Till next week, guys. We love you. Bye.
Yes, thank you. Bye.
Whispering Hunties is not endorsed by World Wonder, VH1, Icon, Great Canada, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and Canada's Drag Race have all made speakers and all clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights their respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.